Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we are so grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. A few things I'd like to talk to you about this morning. First off, is that I will be lecturing in Canada, a series of lectures on the Gospel of John. If you have listened and enjoyed these lectures over the past radio broadcasts over the past months, you're going to have an opportunity to hear these expanded and learn more about the Gospel of John. What better do you have to do on Thursday nights than to come to the Alder Grove Canadian Reformed Church at 7:30 p.m.? And it is a course. It's the Reformed Bible College. You can access that and register at rbcollege.com. Again, that's rbcollege.com. Begins January 13, Thursday nights, 12 weeks, Alder Grove Canadian Reformed Church. We would love to have you, and I'd love to get to know you. So this is the Gospel of John. We'll be studying that. And again, we take up our study today on Abounding Grace in John chapter 6. Wow, what a chapter John chapter 6 is. And here we are. We looked at yesterday the problem that this text presents, that so many had been following Jesus, but not really following. They were make-believers. And Jesus is not frustrated by their lack of commitment. He's not frustrated that so many are not willing to come to him that they may have life. Sure, he would weep. Sure, he would lament over Jerusalem's terrible state. But he makes the statement here, "Don't murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. The Father who sent me draws him." And he says again in verse 65, "Therefore I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." So this is the challenge. The call goes out, come to Christ. Radio listener, it comes to you today. Come to Jesus Christ for life. And if you have come, you are blessed of the Lord. The Father has done something for you. He has wooed you. He has granted. He has brought you to the Son so that you might live. But if you're playing fast and loose in the kingdom, what a horrible teaching the doctrine of election is for those who don't come. And it should be. It should be intensely fearful for those who reject Jesus Christ. So what's the answer? Come. Come this day. Come to Jesus. That's how the Bible presents it. Jesus extended those arms to all the multitudes, and he didn't say, "It's only for you, 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 you." No, he didn't do that. He extended and he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I love this section because if you've come, that means you've been chosen to come. And that means nothing can separate you from his love. You say, "How do I know I've come?" Because all these people in John 6 are following Jesus artificially. That's what John 6 is for, to learn from this. Let me set the scene again for you today. Everyone has missed what the sign of the feeding of the 5,000 meant. It was all designed to teach them of their need for Jesus. And remember verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Coming to Christ equates with being filled. Believing equates with being satisfied. You're never going to thirst. You're never going to hunger. I am going to be like water in your life that bursts out of you, satisfying the thirst of your soul. You will be filled. Now remember what was contrasted. These people wanted to be filled with bread, but there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that made Jesus desirable to them in their natural states. And what is being shown here is what the unfilled life looks like. We said last week, it's a fight for joy. It's a fight for satisfaction. And the unfilled heart is always full of irritation, bitterness. That contrast is now set really strongly because of its opposition to the ministry of the Word. There was something here that had set it all off. Jesus said, I'm the bread come down from heaven to give life to the world. I give life, I fill, I satisfy. In verse 41, what do we read? Then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. Who does this guy think he is? Isn't this just Jesus? And they go on to say, he's the son of Joseph. We know his father and his mother. How can he say, I've come down from heaven? And that was no excuse. Remember what he said in John 5, the very works I do bear witness of me that the Father who has sent me has testified of me. Remember what he said. If anyone else comes in his own name, him you will receive. I come in my Father's name. You don't receive me. Now notice the pattern here. Jesus keeps stepping it up with things he knows will be divisive. Now I'm wrestling with this, dear radio listener, thinking, why does he just keep going with this when he knows the mass confusion and the trouble such teaching is going to cause? The stuff that Jesus is about to say causes massive division. And do you really want to so directly confront these people's lives when you know it's going to do nothing but drive them away? See this? Notice what's happening. By the end of verse 51, when he says, I give my flesh for the life of the world, they're in an all-out fight. And finally, after he says, unless you eat this flesh, you will not live, they depart. Now, dear radio listener, does doctrine divide? You've always heard this, you know. We shouldn't get in squabbles over doctrine, you know. Don't argue over these things. Don't fight. It's dividing. Doctrine divides. You hear this all the time in the life of the church. Does doctrine divide? Yes. And Jesus is the one doing it. Do you see what it's exposing? How much have we seen this? Doctrine divides people and families. And often we have seen exactly what takes place in John 6, complaining against it. Not enough comfort. All of our fighting. And then you see departure from the church. Why does it have to be like this? Well, he's showing us through all these very religious Jews what the unfilled life is and the fruits of it. What does the text show you? The text shows you the truth of 1 Corinthians 3. It just glares here. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. And Jesus says in verse 63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That's the great problem here. Everything that Jesus speaks is spiritual, and we're dead to spiritual things. Can't understand them. So the anger's mounting. How does he respond? Jesus, recognizing that they're fighting, they're complaining, takes it further. Verse 43 of John 6. Therefore, Jesus answered and said to them, don't murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Wow. What a verse. How do you read that? Let me tell you how many have wanted to read that. Many Christians say, well, that would be unfair. And so, you know, that no one can come unless the Father draws. I mean, you know, so what do they teach? They teach, this is a very common teaching in the church today, God draws everyone. And then only those who come by their own free will, who make the decision to come, are those who are given life. Why is this absolutely wrong? You know, you see this on signs, free will church, free will this, you know, everything's free will today. Is that right? How does free will correlate with this statement? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Therefore, I've said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father, unless he has permission. How does that fit free will? I mean, unless you just excise this from the Bible and cut it out, you know, then maybe you could advance that. But as long as these kind of statements stay here, you got to reckon with them. Why is this an absolutely wrong and totally abuse of scripture, the free will doctrine? Well, because it presupposes that if people are brought to Jesus, they have the ability to come. The very thing Jesus says here is that the ability to come is dependent upon the Father granting and giving permission and bringing them. This whole chapter, my friends, is showing us the total inability of sinners to come. Jesus explains how this works in verse 65. He raises the issue of Judas, and it says he knew who would betray him. And Jesus follows up and says, "Therefore, I've said to you, no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father." So the coming is not of your own free will. The coming itself is dependent on the Father. Now remember, John's gospel has already said this. It said, as many as received him, okay, got to receive him. How does that occur? To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, that's born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You have to be given a new birth. You have to be brought. You have to be given life in order to receive, in order to come. So that's the whole point here. Now, I want you to look carefully again at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The word for draw actually has the meaning of to drag. So the coming is completely and totally dependent upon the Father dragging you, because our natures don't want him. We're in hostility, we're in enmity, we're dead in trespasses and sins. And if he does that, you come. Now you have the air on one side that says, you know, I won't accept that. This has gone on in the history of the church. You know, pastor was preaching on this very doctrine, and a woman walked up and said, I just can't understand that. I don't believe that. And the pastor said, okay, go back and sit back, and that's hold to your position. You know, learn, be teachable. Then he taught on this again, and she walked up to him and said, you know what? I get it, but now I won't accept it. And then the pastor said, now I'm scared for your soul. If you see this and openly reject the doctrine of election, yes, that's a whole dangerous position, because now you've taken it to its logical conclusion. And those who are saved love every word of God. But there's a difference between ignorance on this, and I believe a lot of evangelicals are ignorant because they don't read the whole Bible. But you got the air on the other side for Reformed people sometimes, that just because this is true, they then fall into hyper-Calvinism and throw out the general call for people to come. I mean, that's my message when I preach the gospel. Come, come to Christ. When Christ called the multitudes, he didn't say, well, it's only meant for you and for you and you for you, but not you, you, you. No, he didn't do that. Come, come one, come all. We should always present him in the scriptures. As the scriptures say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We say to the world, come to Christ. All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to Christ and he gives rest. That's the question. Have you come? If you come, let you fall today in amazement at sovereign grace that this Christ, you have been given to this Christ by the Father who has loved you and dragged you to him. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Giving an invite to join us for worship, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.